at 6:30, so I would like to convene our monthly meeting of Public Works to order here. It appears as though the first item we have in our business is roll call. So I'm looking around and I'm seeing our supervisors. Supervisor Rodriguez indicated that he would not be here this evening, so he should be excused. I see Supervisor Belsky, Nudo, Berg, John, myself, Supervisor Palmaville, Supervisor Franco. And are you our youth and governance person?
Yes, thank you.
Would you care to introduce yourself to us?
Sure. Hi, I'm Hugh Wachow. I'm a youth governance senior in the fall. And so, unfortunately, my other youth and governance partner cannot be here tonight, so you'll probably see me the next week.
Well, it's not a big deal. Thank you for making the introduction. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Next item on our business is approval of minutes from...
Yes. Could we all introduce ourselves to our...
Sure, that'd be fine. So let's begin with Supervisor Palmaville. We'll go around. We'll all do an introduction.
I'm Chair Palmaville,
and
I'm Supervisor of District
4.
I'm
John Franklin. I'm Supervisor of
13th
District. She's my mentee.
Okay.
I'm
Laura Balski, and I'm District 4.
I'm Bill Grady, Supervisor for District 1, which includes the area from Harbor Park basically up to Carthage College and east of Sheridan.
I'm actually.
Well, congratulations, thank you. You're one of my constituents, I like that.
And I'm Matt Collins, Director of Parks.
Okay.
Andy Berg, District 10, which includes District 10.
I'm Wendy Epping, I'm the Administrative Assistant for Public Works.
I'm Dan Dreyer, I'm the General Manager for the Division of Golf.
Ray Arbuth, Director of Public Works.
I'm White Schrant, I'm the County's Facilities Manager.
Nice
to meet you. So that being done, I think we can move on to item number 3, which is approval of minutes from the previous meeting. I trust that supervisors have had a chance to review these. If there are no questions, or if there are questions, we entertain a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion approved by Supervisor Palmaville. Supervisor Berg seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Youth and Governance?
Aye.
It passes, thank you. Next up, our chairman, committee members, supervisor, youth and government comments. And at this particular time, I have no specific comments, but maybe I'll have something as the meeting goes along. So, supervisors first. Anybody want to speak? Supervisor Berg.
I will. For anybody that find a way to incorporate this in their department. I am working on getting a mental health facility here in Kenosha County. However you think, whether it be golf or anywhere else within the county, parks would be beneficial to mental health therapy of any sort. Let me know if there's any way we can do some fundraising. We're gonna have to do a lot of it. Fundraising or ways that we can incorporate mental health into our department so that we can kind of pressure this organization to come out here and build with us. That's all I have.
I guess I did have something.
I just want to follow up on Supervisor Berg's comment. Have you had conversation with Human Services Department and Committee on this specific topic? Is it going to need?
There's movement.
Okay, good.
I'm meeting with Racine County Executive this week and some businesses.
Good. Supervisor Belsky.
I would just like to communicate, Supervisor Dully put out an email, and I don't know if anybody in this group was on it, but I'll just read it. As you know, the county lost a great friend earlier this year with the passing of Supervisor Lon Wenke. I probably knew Lon less than anyone, having just met him last spring, but he had a profound impact on me, and through his attendance and feedback, a significant impact on the development of the racial and ethnic Equity Commission. Lon was a huge fan, volunteer, and supporter of the Kenosha County Fair. The fair organizers are creating a memorial perennial garden at the fair entrance. A bronze sign over the garden will be donated by the Friends of Lon Wenke. Anyone wishing to join me in contributing to the cost can forward donations to the fair in memory of Lon. And then I have the address if anybody is interested, and then they will unveil the garden and the dedication Wednesday evening during the fair.
If you could send that to me, then I'll kind of get it out
sure.
to our guys.
Thank you, that's all.
Good, I mean, that's pertinent. Thank you for bringing that forward. Any other supervisors have comments? Even governance comments, anything you'd like to bring up? Don't be afraid. If there's anything you have questions about, there's never a bad question. There's always room for learning and so forth for us as well. So don't be shy.
And if we use acronyms.
Yes. In government, there's plenty of acronyms, more than you can shake a stick at. So remind us to elucidate and make it clear for you. Citizens' comments. Any citizens wanting to address the committee this evening? Supervisor Mrs. Franco.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Franco, and I'm John Franco, Supervisor Franco's wife. And I just wanted to give a kudos, a shout out to our county parks in particular. I was just talking to Matt, and you know, we love the parks, they're beautiful, right? But I think this past year has really shown us how important those were. For those of you who don't know, Supervisor Franco and I, we were taking care of my 91-year-old mother for that whole year. So we really did not go anywhere. But we did go to the parks. You know, KB, the Veterans Park, Fox River, and of course, Petrified Springs. And it was just a balm to the soul. They're beautiful, they were maintained, they were open all the time, and talking with Matt, I think that they were probably even more utilized during this past year. So I know sometimes, you know, we maybe think of county golf courses and parks as these luxuries. Ah, how good are they? You know, what purpose do they serve? And I think they were completely invaluable. So kudos to Matt and his team and everybody else for making sure those facilities were there and can.
Thank you for your comment. Any other citizens wishing to comment to the committee here? Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. We can move on to division reports, updates, requests for actions. The first one we have is the Highways Division. Who is handling that?
I'm going to fill in for Clement tonight. He is at the Highway Commissioner's annual soiree. I'll call it in. and it is actually an important thing. There's a lot of information that gets exchanged there. So he's gone for the next couple of days. But I went over everything with him. So the first item that he had up for tonight was a resolution to appoint Jeffrey Marks to serve on the Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission. I don't know if he is here. Very good. So if anyone's got any questions, basically there was enough information, hopefully, in the packet to explain that there's a fairly defined makeup to who needs to sit on that traffic commission, and there is someone required from the educational side of things. I believe Mr. Marks is the traffic supervisor?
Transportation supervisor.
Transportation supervisor for Kenosha Unified. So okay. He was appointed and gracious enough to take the time to serve on the committee. So. There was a little information about him in the packet. If anyone has any questions of him, he is here.
Well, first of all, thank you, Mr. Marks, for being here this evening. It's always nice to see new faces coming into county government make an appearance. We do appreciate that. If you have any type of opening statement or background for the committee you would like to share, please feel free to do so. Now is your time to say so. But
I'm Jeff Marks. I'm happy to be part of the park or board. I bring 20 years of experience with transportation, so I feel like we present a few issues that have come along the way. And I've been with Kenosha Unified for the business start of 20 years.
Okay. Are there any questions, comments among committee members having to deal with this appointment? Supervisor Noodle.
Yeah, I have a comment. I'm sure you guys heard my same comment probably many times already. But I kind of made a statement, a commitment, that I will vote against anybody that the county executive appoints. So it is nothing directed to the appointee, but for that reason, I will just keep on doing what I've been doing all year, and that will go against this appointment.
Duly noted. Any motion other? I'm looking for motion to approve, unless there are further questions or comments. No. So we have a motion made by Supervisor Burke, seconded by Supervisor Connellville. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
It carries with one dissension by Supervisor Nudo. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Thank you for your resolution. And welcome aboard, Mr. Marks.
Thank you.
Thanks. Our next is a resolution to reappoint Patrice Hall to the Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission. Mr. Arbor.
Yeah, I think everyone's familiar that Patty Hall is the medical examiner for the county. Highly experienced, has been on the Traffic Safety Commission since she's been the medical examiner, and is, I know, a big contributor. She did not show up tonight, but she, usually on reappointments, we don't ask the folks because most folks are familiar with the person. So this is a resolution to appoint, to reappoint her to the commission as well. And she did, she still did provide, she's got her resume and her, it's actually pretty fascinating, all the training she's had specializing in medical examiner, coroner slash forensic kind of things. Eminently qualified.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Opposed by Supervisor Nudo. Motion carries. Youth and Governance.
Aye.
Votes aye. Thank you. It appears as though the motion passes with one dissension. The division report, here to carry on.
Yep, I'll run through that. So hopefully everyone on the committee's had a chance to read through things. The weather has been good for DPW, not good for farmers, but good for DPW. All our projects and pretty much all the operations that we've had to get a start on in the spring have all taken off, and I'm going to say, if not on schedule, ahead of schedule with most of the projects that are in play right now, just because the weather's been so cooperative. There's been already a little over five miles of paving that we've accomplished with the county paving crew. You list the roads, and if you've had a chance to get out in the county, you'll see these roads that are complete. There's also a couple roads that are in process right now. We're doing paving work for some of the townships. There have been a number of culverts that have been replaced. Typically, we replace all the culverts in a stretch of road before we resurface it. State work, there's been a decent amount of that going on as well, just routine maintenance. And I'll get into some of the projects that the state is engaged in the community a little bit later on. The big projects that we've got going, Highway S, I think everyone's familiar with what's going on out there. And there's updates, I'm going to say, if not weekly, probably bi-weekly in the Kenosha News to kind of keep folks abreast of what's taking place, which sections are closed and which sections are open. That project is on track to be completed this fall, both Phase 1 and Phase 2. Local F, if you remember, that was the project we did last year to basically take a jog out of the road. And this year we're doing kind of the loose ends associated with that new road being constructed and getting things prepped so that we can jurisdictionally transfer the remaining chunk of old Highway F to the local, to the village of Twin Lakes and the town of Randall. That project is well on its way as well. We expect all of the prep work to be on grading and stormwater management infrastructure installed by the end of June. And then we're actually going to do the paving on all that project. Let's see. So we're targeting having everything done on that project by the end of July. Highway K, the project from County Highway H, which actually goes west to 94th Court, to the UP Railroad, which is the railroad that's next to Indian Trail. The design work continues on that. We actually had the environmental study complete and submitted to the DOT for final review. We had to do some tweaking to the Pike Creek relocation. It needs to be tweaked a little bit, which we did already. And that's part of the package of environmental information that's been submitted to the DOT. Construction for that project is scheduled to start the summer of 22. The bike wayfinding sign project, that's the project that we tweaked quite a bit based on actually some of the comments from Supervisor Nordigan and some of the other supervisors. About 279 of the 454 total signs are going to be installed countywide are in place. 57 of the sign assemblies are installed. I actually saw them. I think they look really nice. So I think that'll be an asset to the community once that's completed. It will make it easier for folks unfamiliar with the area to find their way around if they're on two wheels instead of four. County Highway Y and A, the roundabout in the village of Summers, we had hoped to have the plat plan to the committee this month for review and approval, We just got it to the county executive last week, so he's got to go through it. We haven't had a chance to sit down with him. So we're hoping we're going to, I've got a meeting hopefully scheduled for next week to do that. And then we plan on bringing that plan to the committee in July. Just to refresh folks' memory, a plat plan, we require that to be approved, so all of the right-of-way that needs to be acquired for a project has full board kind of review and approval before we actually start that process. So that's going to be the next one up to bat, where we're going to need to acquire some right-of-way. Not a ton, but some to create that roundabout and significantly improve the safety of that intersection at ANY. Bridge on WG, kind of just over here, actually. Those design specifications were submitted to the DOT for review and approval. Advertising and bid opening are scheduled for this fall, October-ish. Project scheduled for next year for actual construction. Another project that started was Highway H from the state line to State Highway 165. We had a public information meeting on the 19th. There's actually a significant impact of that project to a bunch of commercial businesses in that area, as well as there's two subdivisions that are impacted. The information meeting went really well. We have, right now it appears the contractor has a good game plan to accommodate the traffic needs and the ongoing business needs in that area while still getting the whole project done. There's plan to start that next, whatever the 14th, I think that's next Wednesday. And it's, even though it's broken into two phases, they're going to do it all in one shot. Then, again, kind of right over here at the intersection of U and Q, the intersection improvements that are required for the Janko development, which is, if anyone came out that way tonight, if you didn't, you should go home that way to see the buildings that are, the building that's up already. It's amazing how quickly those precast buildings go up. There are still some right-of-way acquisition issues with that because there's a significant amount of work that needs to take place mainly on Q, some on U, but on Q. And given the topography and some of the, basically the topography, they're having some challenges acquiring some of the right-of-way there right now. So that project was scheduled to actually be constructed this year. I think there's a possibility that that could happen, but it's more likely that that's going to happen next year. So they're going to have the industrial park well on its way, but the intersection improvements, I think, are going to lag somewhat. At this point, that's what it appears. A similar situation on the other end of U, at U and C, not so much that there's right-of-way issues. It's more so that the developer, they've already got two buildings up on the east side of U, but they just bought the farm on the west side of U, directly across the street. So, and they already have planned development, three buildings for that site. So they have to go back and do a traffic, revise their traffic impact analysis for that intersection of C and U so that they can determine if there's additional improvements that are going to be needed now that they're going to have that level of development occurring as part of that overall industrial park. So that was scheduled to happen this year as well, which may happen, but may get pushed back to next year depending on how quickly they can get the traffic impact analysis study completed and then any engineering changes incorporated into the design. So there's a lot going on within really 5 minutes of where we're sitting right now. Next one is the County Highway N bridge reconstruction. This is actually a very small bridge, but a critical one, just west of MB on Highway N. Or west of D? No, it's actually west of MB. And those bids were opened, $312,000 from Sheet Piling Services. We have not worked with that contractor before. Their references have came back good. So they had a pre-construction meeting on Friday, that just last week. Construction's tentatively scheduled to start June 14th, and I believe the public notices have already gone out, and there's some signage on end that indicates that road's going to be closed while that's under construction. Should be completed by mid-August. So plenty of county road projects going on this year, and then we're still updating on the Foxconn-related projects. The phase two of KR, which is from Green Bay Road to Highway H. Bridge construction over the Pike River is complete. You can kind of see that even from 31 if you're driving on Green Bay Road. They're really working now on the two overpasses over both of the railroads, the UP and the Canadian. That project is scheduled to be completed in fall of 22, given everything that's involved in that. That's a state project. And then the other two state projects that Clement's got some notes on are the State Highway 50 reconstruction project, the east one that's from the East Frontage Road to 43rd Avenue. Probably everyone's intimately familiar with what's going on there. Overall, I think that project, they're doing a decent job of managing the traffic given everything they've got to do and the utility work. It's inconvenient, but it's not outrageous. And at the end of the day, when this is all done, it's going to be so much better and make the traffic flow so much better on that section of Highway 50. The one where I think the state is kind of tripping over themselves a bit is on the west end of things, from the West Frontage Road roughly to out to Highway O. Now that they've got even Paddock Lake, the little section in Paddock Lake tore up, it's pretty complicated to get from the interstate out to anywhere west on Highway 50. It makes actually having Highway F, the improvements we did there last year, probably that much more important, even though that wasn't part, we didn't do it for this, but it is an alternate to Highway 50 once you get out that far. It's going to be going on. It's just kind of the necessary pain of what's needed to maintain the main line of that road, as well as set the table in terms of the work that's taking place in Paddock Lake. Is all We Energies. They're putting in brand new gas mains under the road before the big project to completely blow up and reconstruct the section from Highway 83 to, I forget what that avenue is, but basically the Paddock Lake section. Next year, that's the DOT's big project. They're going to completely deconstruct that and reconstruct it. So they got to get all the utility work done this year. All that is supposed to be done by October. So we've got our fingers crossed that that's going to be the case. That's pretty much the only things that are going on in highways.
Supervisor Berg.
Through the chair to Mr. Harvey. A couple of questions. Awesome. I hate driving through all this construction, but next year should be really cool, right?
Right.
I live in the city too, so there's a lot going on there too. My questions though are the businesses on UNQ that are being put up, are they assets to Uline? Are they going to be working in conjunction? Are they warehouses?
No, it's actually the developer is Janko is the name of the development company. They're out of Chicago. They are completely separate from Uline. As far as I know, the buildings that they're initially putting up are speculation buildings, typically logistical or manufacturing type buildings. The one that's up now, you'll see they kind of all look the same in that they're large boxes with a bunch of loading docks. I don't know if that one, the one that's up already, is already spoken for. They've got a lease with somebody. I know that the two on the other end, the HSA development, which is on the south end, or I should say the north end of U by Highway C, at least one of those I know is already spoken for. So that one will be in play, if not this fall, I think by spring for sure. There'll be business active in there.
It'd be interesting to see if any of those new businesses that come in work with Uline. You know, maybe they're producing product that they're making, you know, that they're selling. That'd be kind of neat.
That's a very, you know me, I can go into all different things. So, but it's a very Japanese, actually. It's Keiretsu, is where you have a main manufacturer, and then they have their key vendors and suppliers in the same vicinity. That could be. I don't know if there's any of that kind of relationship going on there.
Well, it only benefits us in the county. So, my other question I had is I've been talking to Stoner from the president of Summers, and he's been kind of not happy with some emails he's been getting, I guess, from the DOT in terms of Sheridan Road. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of a project there?
Yes.
They're going to take it four lanes, two lanes, and turn lane.
Right. Clement wasn't at that meeting. Glenn was at that meeting. The DOT had 2 weeks ago Yeah, for those that don't know, this is kind of their initial information meeting, because the project isn't until 26 is what the time frame is, but they're talking about rebuilding the section of Sheridan Road basically from Carthage, let's say, all the way to Highway 11 in Racine. And right now, the way that's designed, that was shown to people 2 weeks ago, and this is what made the village so upset, and we want to make sure the town is aware of it as well in Summers, is that they're going to they're proposing to neck down that four lanes, two in each direction, to one in each direction, just north of Carthage, and add a sidewalk or multi-use path. So they basically want to build everything within the existing right-of-way. And I know that Glenn spoke up and said, that's got to be, that you guys have to revisit that. And I know that, I think Stoner was at that meeting as well, or Jason was from Summers, and they indicated there. So yeah, we're going to continue to make noise about that, and we want to make sure that as many people are aware of that, that can make noise too, because it doesn't, I don't believe they have any traffic impact data to support that going to one lane in each direction is going to be a safer mode of transportation.
So to follow up on that, please make sure that all committee members are apprised of that, as well as county board, because that is a non-starter for me. I don't see that being beneficial to the public at all.
I would disagree, but it's not the place for argument.
Further comments or questions, Supervisor Burke? Anyone else in the committee? Supervisor Newton.
I have a question. Isn't that the bike wayfinding site project?
Yep.
And maybe that was talked about it before, but if we did, I apologize if I don't remember. I know that years ago, there was a resolution, it was passed at budget time, that anything to do with bikes, it had to be like a separate line, all the expenses for bikes. Was there a put in the budget this work, or is it in there on a separate line, or not?
It has been off and on for years.
Okay, but what
about... There's a separate line in the capital budget for a bike wayfaring project underneath the highway department.
Okay, so that is a separate line in last year budget, correct?
I don't know if we had any in last year, or if it was continuing over from the year before. I don't exactly
because it's been in... I think the grants were originally...
Way back.
It's got to be 6 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been... We've got grants for...
So they changed because this happened, I believe it was about 12 years ago. At budget time, there was a big discussion, so anything that had to do with bike had to be on a separate line. Then I was gone for 4 years, so I don't know if there was any changes made with that.
It's time. Still a separate line.
It's still a separate line, but I don't recall seeing this unless you're
I'll send it to you. How about that?
Thank you, I appreciate it.
No problem.
And then to carry forward, if it's anticipated to go further into the next budget, give us a heads up on that, and we'll cover all bases at one time.
Yeah, it should be...
Should be done.
It should be done this year. It should be done in late August.
Okay, and just, if you know, what's the cost on this year? If you had to guess,
I don't remember what the final number is.
If you would.
I'll just send it, and we'll provide it to the committee so you can all be updated.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's it.
Anything else, Supervisor Newell? Any other supervisors have comments? Ray, let's back up a little bit to the first item, which is County Yes. Project, and we're looking at going from County Highway H to 94. Currently, that is closed off at N, and everyone's diverted from 142 Highway S onto N. Now, I see the signs are up where N's going to have its own scheduled resurfacing here in the fairly near future.
Yeah, so a couple things there.
Right.
So the little, I'll call it the link between the new four lanes of S. And then Bullimore Forks is what it used to be called, the connection to 38th Street, or N. That's supposed to be paved, because right now it's, if I remember, it's kind of gravelly. They haven't put down the final surface yet, but they're supposed to put at least the base surface down like in the next 2 weeks. Now then, from that intersection to actually 128th Avenue, which is the road that's just west of, it's the road that U-Line's on,
okay.
West of the interstate,
yeah.
That's, well, that whole section is the city's now.
Okay.
So that whole section is the city. So when we start our paving project, we're gonna start from 128th and then go out west
and
from
so
there.
So at least the access to the frontage roads will be maintained. All right, the follow-up question is, when do we expect that vehicular traffic will have access to the interstate and the frontage roads from S, because it's, you know, blocked off currently right now?
Yeah, I don't...
Or, you know, Clement can comment.
Yeah, I'm not 100%, because I think there's still access if you're on the frontage roads.
Local, like by, it's local only.
Yeah, you can still get access to the interstate. I don't think access to the interstate is shut down, but I think that the access, the part that's shut down is from the east frontage road to Highway N. That's
right,
the
correct.
Section that's
right.
shut down.
So is that scheduled to open in what length of time, do we know?
That I don't know.
Okay, so let's get Clement to comment upon that, because although N's refurbishment paving is not directly related, that it's still in close proximity. What else?
Okie doke. I'll get the committee that information.
Other thing I'd like Clement to comment upon, I was on County D today, going between K and N, and before the S-curve, pavement's in not very good condition. Doesn't get a ton of traffic out there, but still it's one of the things that I'd like to get a timeline when our...
That was one of the roads we looked at this year, because the condition, if you look at the passer rating, which is our evaluation of the condition of the road, it needs to be done. Then if you look at the traffic study we did, I think there's a total of 40 people that drive that a day. And so that's kind of why we made the decision to, because Highway N wasn't on the drawing board this year, but when we looked at the amount of traffic that's on that road, and especially now in light of what's happening on Highway 50, the spillover effect onto K, it's really good that we did K last year, and even N is so.
So that dovetails with the third question. You know that Highway 50 is going to get a twofer, right? The first part is the laying of that big old gas main on the north side. We had approved in the committee here, Settlers Park, right away and so forth, so it could, you know, do it. Then, as Ray alluded to earlier, they're going to tear up the roadbed significantly, what, next year?
Next year, just in that section of Paddock Lake.
Still, what's going to happen to Highway K, what's going to happen to Highway C, you're going to see huge amounts of traffic on there. So, we know that they're in pretty good shape. My comment is County C from the West Frontage Road to whatever the next crossroad is, not before you get to MB, on C westbound, is it UE?
It'll be U.
Okay.
U
is a. That's not in very good shape. County C road bed is not. So
that section, I believe the section of C from, well, there's a couple things in there too. So there's the intersection of C and U, which is going to be reconstructed as part of the HSA development. So that's going to be reconstructed, and that's going to feather out a little bit in each direction, east and west. But then the section from there to the frontage road, that we actually talked about that for a next year project to be resurfaced.
But hopefully not when Highway 50 is torn up and everyone's using that as a...
Right, as an alternate
route. Yeah. So just things to think about tonight.
There's a lot of pieces to juggle.
Yeah, construction everywhere. I think that pretty much... Oh, here's a thought my constituent brought to me. They said, you know, we look at these higher volume traffic routes, Highway 50, it's all done in concrete. Look at Highway 45. All done in concrete, the renewed version of Highway 45 from the state line north to what, 11?
Well, still a significant chunk of Highway 45 is still pavement, just bituminous pavement. And that.
So, in a big project such as what we're looking at for County Highway S, to the interstate from, just say, Green Bay Road, how does the decision-making process, I know it's a state project, made to be due bitumen or asphalt as opposed to concrete?
So typically the things that are plugged into that equation are traffic type, traffic volumes, and then expected life, the life expectancy of each of those two products. So concrete is going to take more heavier loads over a longer period of time, but then by the time it starts to break down, the repairs are actually more expensive. That's why you see us on Highway 31. Every summer we're out there cutting all the... It doesn't hold up as well when we get intense heat, right? So there's things buckle, and then we have to go in on contract to the state, cut those things out, and re-pour those. Whereas when blacktop goes bad, you typically can either patch it or you can resurface it. So even though its life expectancy isn't as great as concrete before you need to start dealing with the problems associated with it, once you start having to deal with the problems, Highway 50 is a good example right now what they're doing. This is a big project. I don't know what the DOT's cost is for that project, but it's going to be tens of millions of dollars. The good news is they got about 20 plus years out of it before they had to do it. But now that they're doing it, it's a big opera. And those are kind of the things that get plugged into those kinds of decisions, is the life expectancy, the traffic load, and then what's going to be the best thing for the long term.
I don't know if I can put that all into two sentences for my constituent, but I will I'll work on that. Any other questions or comments?
I have a question. Regarding County L, is someone keeping a close eye on that? Because, again, the contractor, they had trucks all over the road, no signs, and then they had cones set up. Some guy was in the sewer. No signs, nothing. Pretty dangerous.
So you're talking where that new subdivision's going?
Oh, yeah, Ava Woods.
Yeah, we know the contractor. It's not our job, but it's our road. So
right.
If you're seeing stuff that doesn't look kosher, then we can get involved. So
to put up signage or have somebody with the slow down, because they've got all the trucks parked on the road, and then they're putting cones out. That's kind of hard to see on L, especially when you're coming up over the hill to 39. So
I know that
I'll keep my eye on it.
I know that we do patrol that area to mm-hmm. kind of keep an eye, and we've had to
it's my main thoroughfare.
Oh, so you see it regularly. Okay, so, no. But I'll make sure that our folks go talk to their project manager just to make sure
just
that they've got proper signs.
Just to make sure they have signs letting people know, because you come up on that hill and, you know, their trucks are sticking out on the road. But more importantly, they had a guy in the sewer, and there was nobody out there. It was dangerous, though.
Very good. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I could answer Supervisor Newell's question.
Mr. Puffer, yes.
There's $184,000 left to spend in the bike project. It might be $182,000, but I think we might have spent $2,000 in the last week or two. And there was no budget for 21. That $184,000 got carried over from last year into this year.
From
bike signs. At the end of every year, the county goes through a process of carrying over unspent capital funds for projects that are not finished.
Okay, and that
for
was...
that one project, there's a line called Bike Wayfaring Sign Project. There's $184,000 left over at the end of 20 that automatically moves to 2021, and it's just sitting there waiting, because I think this committee and the finance committee kind of put the brakes on it last year. So it's just sitting there waiting for the project to be finished.
Could you do me a favor and send me, you know, where it was in 2019 or 2020?
Sure. That'll take me a little bit longer.
No, that's fine. No, that's fine. That was, I mean, it's nothing.
So the bottom line is you're making the statement there was no new appropriation for that in the 21 budget.
Right.
It was just carried over from previous year.
Right.
So it's not money that was left over. You know, like I believe last month or the month before, there was about $600,000. The bids came out less than what was projected, so it's none of that money being used for this.
Yeah, this project was bid maybe 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it's been ongoing. They
but
started
it. None of that money going towards this project.
Right, it's that original money that and it just carries over from your. So this is a multi-year project.
So it's its own separate line item is what we're saying here.
It's
its own separate line
exactly.
Item is what we're saying here.
Okay.
All right, very well. Any further questions from the committee regarding highways? Seeing none, thank you for your report, Ray. We'll now move on to Division of Golf and Mr. Breyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Golf is doing really well. We're up from last year and golf courses are in really, really good shape. Everybody's out there having fun. We've been extremely busy when the weather is nice, and the staff is working hard to ensure that our operations provide a fun, safe guest experience. League play began the last week of April, the first week of May, and we're serving over 600 league members every week now. So it's great having that repeat business every week. We just had our tailor-made equipment demo, a club fitting day yesterday. We sold over about $6,000 worth of product at Brightondale, so that was great. We had people from as far as Lake Forest coming up and buying clubs for us, so we know that our email database is working, and we had a great day yesterday, so that was fantastic. Staffing, we're doing well. We still need a couple of long-term maintenance people in Brightondale, but we have a great crew, and now it's just a matter of retention and training and making sure that everybody's on the same page. Projects that we're either working on or ready to start is there's always drainage work to be done, so we're working on that. We have a real deep one that we had to go out for a contractor on 10 Blue. It's 12 to 14 feet deep in some areas, so we can't handle that depth of work, but we got a contractor, CK Contracting, that's going to be doing that. Our cart path replacement is ongoing. You know, basically with this hot, dry weather, we're not going to be planting any grass seed. You know, it is what it is until, you know, things die down a little bit around the golf course. We plan on really hitting it hard in September and October and trying to finish up that work there. I will tell you that all that erosion area off of 11T got taken care of.
So,
okay. And then Brightondale, the fairway restoration, the problems that we had last year, we put over 2,000 pounds of grass seed down on 63 acres of fairways at Brightondale. So, they're really coming around and they're beginning to fill in very nicely. So everything is really going well in the Division of Golf.
Good weather for golf, no doubt about that. Questions or comments from committee members? How about a deep tying on Brightondale? How are you doing with that?
The contractor had their machine go down. They weren't going to come up from St. Louis with just one machine, and they needed two for 63 acres, and they never got the parts, and so they never got it done. And so we're going to skip it. We're going to maybe earmark that those funds for tree removal. We have a lot of snags out there, some dead trees that really need to be addressed for our guest safety. And we did purchase our own deep tying air fryer. It should be here this month, but with the hot, dry weather, it's not going to go down deep enough. So it'll have to be, you know, probably this fall that we really get all the fairways done that way.
Well, that's good. I mean, if we have our own deep tying machine, we could do Brightondale with it in a reasonable amount of time, assuming the weather was.
Yeah, that's why we had the contractor hired, you know, even though we were going to get
one done at once.
Because, it was 63 acres and one machine, it's going to take forever to do it. But, you know, once things lighten up, we're going to use it at both facilities. You know, where we did the cart pass, we had some heavy trucks on the turf, and we need to relieve that. Yeah, the tees are going to be done, and so it'll be put to good use, that's for sure, as soon as it
my comment to Ray earlier in our conversation, I'm very pleased with Pet's parking lot, and that was done some 4 or 5 years ago. The expectancy was that patch was not going to last, it would be just tempering, the whole thing was resurfaced, and thankfully it's held up well, and people don't see that parking lot as being, you know, broken up and run down like it was at one time, so.
Right.
I'm glad that's
one of the projects that we have for the future is we're going to need a new maintenance facility. That building is still original 1936 maintenance shop, and So probably when we put that in, there'll be heavy trucks coming in, and it'll deteriorate, and so we would like to repave it after we get the new building.
Anything for Mr. Dreyer? Seeing none, thank you for your comments, Dan. It's always nice to hear a success story. We like that. Moving on, Mr. Tran.
I have three projects in the corner. First one is the KCAB heat pump replacement project, phase three.
Could you explain what KCAB is?
Administration building. Ah.
So that's the one right next to the courthouse, immediately west of the courthouse, the civil unrest, some of the property was damaged there, the windows were broken, and so forth. So that's the one.
So that's in phase three, and it's happening on the second floor of the administration building. That project is actually 50% complete now, and it's progressing as expected. The second project is the KCDC, which is the detention center, exterior ceiling replacement project. That project is about 60% complete now, and it's also progressing as expected. Third project is also a KCDC, and it's the what we call the piping coupling replacement phase two project. It's the final phase, and that's near completion, about 90% complete, and should be finishing up here in another week or so. That is my brief report.
Questions or comments from Mr. Schrant, Supervisor Nudo?
Any updates on the courtroom remodeling?
Ceremonial.
So the only thing that's taken place this year is that we're working to put together a fundraising campaign for that, because we've told the board at the last budget that we're going to try to raise at least, I think, half the funds. And I will say this, there's going to be, in terms of fundraising, there's going to be an exciting announcement related to the ceremonial courtroom in the month of June. But we can't say anything yet, but there will be some positive news from a fundraising standpoint in the month of June. There'll be something.
Nothing yet.
Nothing yet, but in June, I believe there's going to be something pretty. I'm excited about it. I hope you can tell. I'm excited about it. I am.
We'll find out in June.
It's June. Yes.
I think this is June.
This is June. Yeah. Yes, it's going to happen in the next couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're actively pursuing a fundraising strategy, and there's going to be something. What's that?
I'm sorry. Are we pursuing fundraising, or the judges are pursuing fundraising?
They're part of the team.
They were going to do
they're part of the team. Yeah, we met with them. They're both past and present judges are part of the team that's kind of organizing the fundraising efforts.
So it's not the county.
Well, I'm helping, Frank's helping, it's a team effort. But there's the judges, there's, like I say, past and present, there's judges involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the idea is to get area businesses, area citizens, interested groups to basically fund a big chunk of the whole renovation if it were to occur.
Yep, we're shooting for half, if I remember correctly. Which is about what it's going to take for the whole project, if I remember, is all the infrastructure related to the HVAC and kind of the hard parts, the technical parts, is kind of about 1.8, and roughly about 1.8 of the decorative, artistic, stained glass, all the crown molding, it's about half and half. And so that's why we said, you know what, if we can raise the money, we got to do the infrastructure stuff. The HVAC has got to be dealt with anyways because it's 40 years old. But the other stuff, if that could be fundraised, that was the concept that we laid out at the last budget.
Anything else? Comes to mind, Mike, you know, we're going to have to do something with the job center at some point in time in terms of, you know, fixing up certain parts of it or moving to a different facility or coming to some type of consensus, and I don't really know that it's imperative that we need the big whole master plan, but at some point in time, in an upcoming meeting, give us your top five list, your top seven list, what it would be, that if we're going to stay in that building for the next, let's say, 8 to 10 years, what would have to be done to keep it from at least deteriorating further?
So I can put something together for that, and it'll be good actually as we prep for 22 budget, because we've got all that information already, all that engineering information.
So as long as it's in the works, it doesn't have to be immediate, but you know, we're thinking about budget time already will be this fall, which is not that far away.
No.
Supervisor Newton.
I have one more question, I'm sorry. Speaking of buildings, just thought about the Shopko building, because what's the deal on that? Were we leasing the building there, or?
Right.
So there was a signed lease?
Right, a signed lease.
Who signed the lease?
The county executive signed
it. The county executive. Isn't that a state law, or even county, whatever? Every single lease has to be approved by the county board? Because I don't recall that coming to this committee or the county board at all.
Yeah, I can't speak to that legal part of that. I just know that, and it may not be technically a lease, it may be a rental agreement,
or
whatever.
It would be the same thing.
Because it was a short term.
It would be the same thing.
From March to the end of August. And our last clinic, which I was going to report on, was May 22nd. And then there is no more clinic scheduled for that.
Right.
I let the real estate folks that handle that property for Shopko know that, and they actually have been marketing the property pretty aggressively. There's an auction scheduled. They had an auction scheduled for next week for that building.
Right.
But I got word just in the last couple days that they sold it already. So the building sold. They want us out of there, any of our stuff, June 30th, which is fine because that's the way the rental agreement was set up, that either they could cancel it with 30 days notice or we could. And they gave us the 30 days notice, and we're fine because we're not going to have any more clinics there. So we just need to get our stuff out of the building by the end of the month, and then if what I heard is accurate, the building is sold. So there's going to be no new owners of it.
Well, that's up to shop. It doesn't affect us anyway. And the rental agreement, do we have a copy of the rental agreement? Can I get a copy of the rental agreement? Please, whatever, you know, whatever it's there.
Anything else?
No, that's it. I'm sorry. I forgot before. I was going to bring it up.
That's fine. Supervisor Berg.
One quick question or statement on the Shopko. Can you let the city know we're done using it so that they can put the lights back to blinking? Because I'm tired of getting stopped at that stoplight.
Yeah.
No car goes through. And I have let an alderman know that, but it doesn't always move as fast as we'd like.
Got it.
And there you have it. No further questions. If there are none or comments, we can move on to Mr. Frank Martinelli. Who's assuming Mr.?
I'm going to do that one too because Frank is under the weather. So Frank called me and he's just not feeling good. So first item that he's got is the KCAP Molinaro security modifications. So the courthouse, kind of the remaining civil unrest repairs, those bids came back in on June 2nd. I don't have the exact amount, but I know we only got one bid for the package. So we're evaluating those bids right now, and we're going to have to coordinate it with the insurance company because all of that is, I believe there's a deductible associated with it, but everything else should be covered by our insurance. So as soon as we can get that all squared away, we originally were targeting having all that work done, the storefront windows and some of the other replacement of glass and so forth, done by July 30th. If we can get everything squared away with the insurance company this week, and insurance companies are notoriously quick to work with, sarcasm, so I don't think we'll have it done by July 30th, but I think we will have it done by August 30th. So that's kind of what's going on with that, the last loose ends for that project. The security transaction windows for the counters at KCAB, those are in process yet, the development of those specs, but we're targeting having that work bid in September and construction in October going into the fall. The Civic Center demolition project, I think if anybody's had a chance to go downtown, you can see that the three buildings that were standing there last Tuesday are no longer standing there. And the demo contractor's been pretty aggressive at getting them down. Still some work to do on the site to get it prepped for the parking lot construction. And We Energies is coming in the week of the 21st to relocate some utilities. And then the table will be set for us to do the parking lot. The parking lot itself, I'll go right into the next thing, those are in the final design review with the city right now. We're hoping that by the end of the week we'll have sign off from the city so then we can get that out to bid. And then pretty much as soon as the demolition is all done and the site is prepped, with a little luck, we should be able to start the construction project for the parking lot late July going into August and finish it up before October. So that's the plan for all of that. KCDC HVAC replacement. This is interesting. This the bids for this just came in on June 2nd, which was Thursday, I think, or Wednesday or Thursday. And they came in really hot. We got three bids in, all good companies. Lee, Martin Peterson, and Southport. And on a $2.1 million project, the bids were all within, I think, less than $100,000. So the good news tells me that our bid specifications were really well done, because anytime you get three good contractors to bid that close on that big of a project, the bid specs were pretty much spot on. The bad news is it's about $400,000 higher than what our project budget is. So we just started to dig into it with them. In talking with Southport, even though they went out for bids to, because the way we've got our HVAC systems designed, we're not locked into a single manufacturer. We did that intentionally so that we could bid pretty much anybody's equipment and it will still fit with the systems we have in place. Well, they bid three manufacturers. Only one manufacturer got them a quote back. So a lot of stuff you're reading in the newspaper now about construction costs, material costs, availability for equipment, this is a good example of what's going on right now. We're not sure if we're going to be able to do this unless somehow we can scale things back or identify a way to get the cost down into the same, into our project budget. We're not going to be able to do that project this year. So we'll see. The concerning part is that I think that this is a window into what's going on right now and probably is going to be going on for the next, I'm going to say probably the next 6 months to a year. Hopefully no longer than that. Hopefully manufacturers and supply chains can get rebooted in a way that they can start to fill things back up and there aren't all these shortages. But I think this is a perfect example of what's going on in the bigger economy right now.
So just a translation, KCDC HVAC is a mnemonic for Detention Center Heating, Ventilation, Air Conditioning Unit. And they have to replace them. They're huge. They're monster things. If you look at that silver one up there, figure 4 to 5 times the size of that. Now he's put them on the roof of a building. So that's what we're talking about for a very large building.
So more to come on that one. Kemper Water Infiltration Repairs, those bids came in actually late April, and we awarded that to Berglund Construction was the low bidder. That's just kind of a surgical intervention on the east side of the building. When we had, if you know where Kemper is right down on the lake, when we get those northeast winds and those really bad storms, that side of the building takes a real beating. So this is designed to kind of hit the worst spots where water was getting driven into the building and causing deterioration. Berglund's scheduled to start that in late August, but they think it's only going to be about a 3 or 4 week project. Those are all Frank's projects that he's got going on.
Any question on the facilities division projects that Mr. Arbit spoke about? Questions, comments? Supervisor Berg.
With the parking garage at Civic Center, parking lot, is it the goal with the intentions of future having a garage on top of that?
No. What we're doing is we're building it. It'll should look like a sister to the parking lot right next to it. And if you recall when we did that master facilities plan last year, the potential for, right now it's going to be parking lot, but it's going to be very easy to disassemble it if it makes sense or is necessary to expand things for the courthouse or KCAB to start to take some of that parking lot over. So that's the design intent.
Supervisor Belsky.
I have a facilities question, but I don't think that you can do anything about it. I have to comment on it because it's driving me crazy. That turtle is a land-based turtle, semi-aquatic, and it doesn't, his facility is not a good one. And he needs a landing base so that he can breathe and rest. So could somebody from facilities please take care of that?
So I don't think we can do that. I'm going to defer to, she's the resident expert. So.
You're talking about the slider.
Yeah.
He does have a platform.
I don't think he's able to get to it. Yes, he looks like he's struggling.
Yes. He doesn't do it that often.
I just want to make sure that his facility is appropriate.
He's a bit hyperactive, I think, is what they're saying.
There'll be a tour after the meeting.
Okay,
and you can investigate that.
Thank you.
No, that's,
thank you
that's considered. That's good.
I was thinking of it, too.
Yeah.
I was watching. It was better than TV. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
All right, so
I just
that
don't want to think about it at midnight.
We can get you a live camera feed.
Okay. I might like that.
Is it on the keys? You can't see it.
Yeah.
That box on the top of the tank.
And he can go?
And does he?
He's going up right now.
There's a sun lamp up there.
Maybe that's why. Every time we're in here, he always seems like he's drowning.
He's doing it on purpose.
We're the entertainment for him.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, that finishes up item 4 on our agenda. If there are no further comments or questions, let's move on to item 5. Thank you, Ray. For Parks Division and Mr. Matt Collins.
I think first what I can do is give it over to Pringle Nature Center, and they typically give an annual report for the committee since we weren't able to be here last year. This is a nice time for them to show their facilities that they lease out to, from Kenosha County Parks, and tell a little bit about the Pringle Nature Center. So I'll let Liz or Barry take the floor and go from there.
Good evening and welcome to the Pringle Nature Center. We're always glad to have this committee meet out here once a year. It gives us a chance to tell you what we've been doing here and also to publicly thank you and Ray and Matt and all the county park workers that help us out here. So it's a good relationship that we have, and we enjoy it. So thank you for that. And the Vice Chair, Warren Rasmussen, is here tonight as well. And I certainly second the comments, I'm sorry if I have the lady's name, but your comments about people utilizing the parks due to COVID. And one of the, if there's a bright side at all to the virus, it's been people rediscovering nature. I've been out here over 20 years volunteering. I've never seen as many people utilizing this park, winter and spring and summer, as we have right now. So it's really been great, and we hope that's going to continue. One of my long-term dreams is coming true, thanks to Matt. And I've always hoped to have a concert series. I always said Ravinia North, but Bristol Woodstock is okay. So I'm really glad to see that happen and hope that some of you can make it out for that. And even though we've been closed for over a year, our naturalist, Liz Elby, and our environmental educator, Tracy Ward, have been very busy. And if you follow them in the newspaper and social media, you've seen that a lot has been going on. We've been doing a lot of outdoor things here. He's really having a great time, so there is a little good part to it. But we're glad to be open again and starting our summer programming again. And I'll introduce Liz, our full-time naturalist, and she has a report that she'll give on what we've been doing.
Yeah, I am Liz Alvey. Like Barry said, I'm the naturalist here, and apart from our part-time environmental educator, we're also able to do what we do because we have a bunch of very dedicated volunteers, obviously some of which are here, and we work with the Kenosha County Parks Department. So we do year-round programming out of Bristol Woods here, if you're not familiar with us. environmental education and different kinds of nature recreational programming. So in spite of being closed until last week, we were by no means inactive over this last year. We did move a lot of our programming online, trying to adapt for some virtual programming, all of which was free for most of this last year to the public. And we also did some in-person programming, what we could do socially distanced, so self-guided hikes, Leave No Child Inside programs, which are self-guided family programs that bring people into the parks. And since we are starting to reopen now, we're reintroducing some of our typical in-person programming as well. So we're starting back up with summer camps, Tots in the Park, and Cradle Talks, which is more of an adult education program, just with some precautions in place to help people distance and, go mostly outside as much as we can. And like I said, we also have a lot of virtual programming over the last year. We moved our homeschool science program online. We had a lot of different family programs, including the Leave No Child Inside series. And we're going to be continuing with some of that free programming, since some of that was very successful. So a couple other things I just wanted to point out quickly. We have been continuing our invasive species work days. So we also work on some stewardship here in the park to try to control the invasive buckthorn and things like that, garlic mustard around the nature center here. We do usually have annual fundraisers. Last year, our big fundraiser, we weren't able to do our Fall Fun Fest in person, so we were promoting the migratory bird day activities online. But we're planning Fall Fun Fest coming back this September, so that's the third Saturday every September. So we've got a lot of activities in works for that. We had snowshoe rentals still over this last winter. That was very popular. And we received, thankfully, some grants to help with our programming. So we did get a payroll protection program grant to help with programming staff costs here. We also received a donation from Uline, which was a huge help. So all this furniture, rugs, a lot of equipment and supplies helped us replace or supplement what we have here. So we're looking forward to a thank you. And then also received a grant for an eco-caching program, which is going to be started this month. It's like geocaching, if you've ever heard of that, except it's a little more educational. So groups can come to the park, use GPS units, and locate caches that are hidden throughout different areas that have information on the ecology of the area and activities to be related to that. And we also had a membership drive in partnership with Boundless Adventures Ropes Course over here last summer that significantly added to our membership base. So the promotion was that families could buy our membership at Greenville and have a free day on the ropes course over there. So that was a big help for them. And also, I don't know if any of you have seen down in that area kind of by the prairie down the hill. There's a few features down there. That's something we're working on with Kenosha County Parks and Boundless Adventures, putting in a nature play area that's going to have different play features, mostly made of natural materials, to get kids out there just getting some exercise, being creative with the materials in that play area. So some of the features are there. Some of them are being built right now by Eagle Scout, by Boundless.
Question by Supervisor Berg.
When are you doing a fundraising? Are you guys going to do the Boundless Adventure fundraising drive again?
Yes, there will be another membership drive.
I want to know when that is.
it's a great opportunity, especially if you have a little bit bigger family to go try out the ropes course.
Can anyone detail us on the Bristol Woodstock venue and plans and what's going to happen with that? Some of the details?
I was going to cover that under
my head. Oh, you were going to.
You probably saw the sign down there, right?
I didn't see the sign.
All the bands on.
So any other questions or comments by committee members for the committee here before us? Thank you very much for your presentation. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. Mr. Mann.
Excellent. Yes, thank you for hosting us today, members of the Pringle Nature Center. As I talk, I'll pass along our annual activity guide. This is a good distraction while I talk about the nuances of my report, I guess. In there, with what Chairman Grady referenced with Bristol Woodstock, we did hold off on printing our annual activity guide until, A, we knew we could distribute it to entities other than just holding on to these things like, unfortunately, we had to last year. And we wanted to update our full program of special events and activities for the whole 2021 season. So that way, even beyond my report and what we include here, we do have a list of all of our concert series activities and programs. And if any supervisor needs extra, I do have more in my vehicle, or just give me a call.
Okay.
You want to say,
I'll pass it on.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have
plenty. I'd like to leave it for a farmer's market.
Absolutely, so I can pass along that. And again, I have a full box, so after this meeting, I can give out more if you need it. So other than the activity guide, next item on the report is for Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park. First item under that is a dry hydrant was installed adjacent to the main lake on the eastern side of the park back on the 24th of May. And this was truly to allow for year-round water access for our fire departments and emergency rescue operations. That was a request through the local townships on the western side. It's because it does have limited resources for water, especially in the winter months. So that is a huge help to our community partners and fire departments. Also, construction has started on the parkway, Honor Plaza, and multi-use trails. Asphalt crushing of the existing and remnant asphalt that was left on site from the previous owner started and has completed. That's going to be for basically the road base as well as the multi-use path. Brush clearing is completed, and earthwork base and base course material is proceeding ahead of schedule, just as Ray had mentioned, just because of the favorable weather conditions. Moving on to the Pike River Restoration Phase 2 and pedestrian bridge replacements. Construction started the week of the 24th for this project as well. The contractor has mobilized on the north side of this project, adjacent to Area 4, if you're familiar with Petrified Springs Park, and is progressing with selective tree removals, brush clearing, and stream diversion. So they're actually used three fairly large 12-inch pipes with hydraulic pumps, and they're going above the water and basically diverting the Pike River around their construction site, which is a lot more ecological friendly to the habitat as they use their big equipment more in the stream bed for that restoration project. So they're doing it section by section, and as they move, they're working on grading right now for that project. They'll wrap up that section, then they'll basically remobilize in different sections downstream to approximately area number 3 in the park. Pringle Nature Center, as you just heard from them, reopened to the public for visitors and programmed back on the June 1st. And of course, with every month, we include their attached reports. Moving on to the Summer Youth Employment Program, SYEP, as it's paraphrased. That is set to begin on June 21st of this month. This program will again hire disadvantaged youth to work in the parks and facilities to gain employment experiences and aid in projects throughout the county. This year, we just were informed that it'll be probably a very small scale program. I'm guessing because everything was virtual, that usually it's referrals based on counselors and then just kind of some challenges they might have in a classroom environment. Well, they probably didn't have or don't notice as many of those interrelations with the kids. So they didn't have that many referrals into this program, unfortunately, this year. So it's just gonna be a little bit more small scale. Moving on to summer events. The Parks Division does plan to host special events and weekly events within the park system. So yes, we're basically full blown this year as far as what we want to offer for recreation programming, concert series, the new concert series over at Bristol Woods Park, to
is to better highlight Pringle Nature Center for people that have never been here before, might have just are more tuned into the concert experience, might learn out about other amenities while they're here too. So throughout our monthly division reports, I'll try to give a 2-month outlook of different activities. But again, the activity guide that I distributed, social media, there's a lot of ways to stay on top of what's going on with our county parks. Just a couple highlights of some stuff that I would highly recommend. Of course, concert series here that'll kick off this month. But also, Symphony in the Park over at Petrified Springs Park. That'll be new to us this year, that we're having the Kenosha Symphony, basically full orchestra, perform adjacent to the beer garden. So the beer garden is going to help out with novelty concessions, wine, cheese, hors d'oeuvres. And we're really expecting that to be hopefully an annual event with the symphony performing in the county park system. Other than that, weekly events are continuing just in previous years pre-COVID with the travel and yoga series, another yoga in the park by a different professional that does that. Crystal Woodstock starts on the 24th of this month. And then, again, we're doing movie nights starting on June 25th at Pets Park. A lot of these are helped through private donations through corporate sponsors as well. So we're able to grow the amount of activities and venues based on local community corporate sponsors. So same thing with the Bristol Woodstock through law offices and Aetna health care provider. They help support and supplement for those bands. So not a lot of county tax levy goes into those. It's a win-win. And then next for activities, Petrified Springs Beer Garden. Just wanted to list basically every day of the week, there's some programming or offering, concert, venue within the beer garden area. So if you add that up, I would just say that's over 200 events or activities at least throughout the year. We continue to grow. So that's great, and a lot of that's free. General public. Finally, on the report, UW Parkside, Petrifying Springs Trails, just a couple updates on that. Work on the 3+ mile section of the multi-use hiking trails and pedestrian bridge construction is set for this month. It actually started right on the border of both of our properties. Kenosha Area Mountain Bike Association is scheduled to start work on the 6+ miles of mountain bike trails this June. They're starting with the toddler area for little kids, starting to become a little bit more acclimated. It's a good way for them to hone in on their trail building skills with a small youth mountain bike trail course. WISC Corps is a nonprofit conservation corps dedicated to outdoor conservancy projects. They're tentatively hired to aid in park with our park personnel for constructing the multi-use trails and pedestrian bridges starting in mid-July. And some of that's due to our hiring issues internally that we've been trying since February to recruit for seasonal candidates. And it's tough out there. Getting 3-month employees for short-term maintenance is grueling. I'm sure you hear it in the papers as far as the hiring issues. So this is a good way for us to supplement through the Swiss Parks, and they're specifically trained for trail building construction so we can continue to build on these services and move forward with our projects. And that's all I have for my report.
Questions or comments from Mr. Collins? Supervisor Rudolph.
Yeah, I do have one. I saw, I believe it was in the county parks website or whatever, that that beer garden, they had the ceremonial tapping of the keg to let the official system off. In the past, and events like this, I believe the county board supervisor of the district was invited to do that, but this year was not done. Is that a reason why, instead of the county board supervisor, we had somebody from the county executive office to do that?
Not that I'm familiar of. Something ceremonial. I don't know if there's anything behind that, Supervisor. But
it seems like, I mean, before it was like the county board supervisor that. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden, you know, again, they changed.
make that
wonder that we so behind.
Supervisor Mauer, I think, is that her district?
Yes.
And I think she did it the previous year, correct?
Yeah, that's what I say. Usually that's what they do, same thing in Parrot Lake and everything. So I was kind of, I shouldn't say shocked, because I can't expect anything, but to see that the person, this county board supervisor, was not even invited. I think it's pretty rotten, to say the least.
I can pass that along to the beer garden.
To the beer garden, or whoever made the decision for that, because it seems like maybe. Or at least that's my opinion.
Belsky.
Matt, was Dr. Freiheit involved in, or made aware of all the activities and events that are taking place, and are her recommendations going to be followed?
So we are following through that Kenosha Kickstart. That's where we referenced when that was updated, I want to say about 2 months ago or so. And it came through with different tiers and classifications based on the amount of population or expected visitors to an activity. And a lot of the events that you see here are small scale. So even for a Bristol Woodstock, we're not expecting really like something like you would have for a large Country Thunder type
of
activity.
Yeah, I just
activity.
Wanted to know if you...
So yes, we've been consulting, we review those Kickstart, and we're going to continue this thing's kind of, hopefully more and more people get vaccinated.
Sure.
And keep on trying to alter those, but absolutely, we can refer to that.
Thank you.
Supervisor Franco.
Yeah, Matt, I need some clarification on two events, the Pups and Pints and Potty in the Park. Are those dog-related events?
They absolutely are. So the Pups and Pints is a fundraiser through the beer garden at Petra Pine Springs Park, and that's for a safe harbor. So the proceeds from that event, and they do some novelty things where you can take a photo with a professional photographer with your little pooch and, you know, buy some other novelty stuff while you're there. I think they might even have beer for dogs. It's non-alcoholic, but they sell stuff like that. You know, just to help enhance those nonprofit organizations. So the Safe Harbor and the Beer Garden partner together to put on that annual event. And I want to I think this is either second or third annual time doing this. And then same thing over at Old Settlers Park with that potty in the park. This will be their second. Last year's got canceled. And same thing, that it's through, I think, a Western organization that helps with the nonprofit animal rescue and shelter initiatives. So some of these events that we list here, we're the host site, but it's not us actually doing the programming of it. So we do a special event for them, make sure that it's in tune with everything from our mission statement, and provide the space for them and help support it through, you know, any type of PR marketing, and then they can actually do the details.
You didn't think of the name?
No, that was not me. I can't take credit for that.
Supervisor Bird.
Brush clearing. You guys got a good toy last year. This year, didn't we?
We did.
Can you let me know when you're doing it? Because I want to come video. I'm watching.
From a distance.
Yes, from a distance. I'll zoom in.
Yeah, and I could probably even share some demo video with you. But yeah, it's better firsthand. Absolutely, I can get in touch with you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Plus, it's at Veterans Park, so.
It's actually over at Petrifying Springs Park right now. They're using that on a daily basis for brush clear on that multi-use hiking trail.
Okay. But you are going to be using it at the Veterans Park.
That's through a contractor. The contractor's doing all that brush clear. Okay. So we're using ours more so this year. And it's been used for Dan. He did a lot of projects already this winter. We are on the South Bike Trail during the winter, going into early spring. So it does move around quite a bit. It's gotten to see a lot of hours and years. So it's been a huge internal improvement just to have that versatility. Yeah.
Anything further? Supervisor Belsky.
I just want to say how impressed I am with the job that Pringle Nature Center does, all the volunteers and staff. It really is an impressive facility in the amount of activities that you have, especially educational. I really commend you, and I'll make sure to publicize it in Kenosha Public Market. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Questions for Mr. Collins? Just to detail us, Matt, would you, is there a separate listing for the Woodstock concert series? Is there an agenda either in the works or made up at this point?
So I can't remember if it specifically was in the activity guide. I can page through and see if it was in there. If it's not because we didn't have it done in time for the print, then I could send it out to the specific committee other than what's in there as far as the bands and all that good stuff.
Okay.
And yeah, it's posted right outside then too as far as the specific lineup.
And that will occur specifically in which area of the park?
If we all look over where I'm pointing, there's the band shelter. There's actually an Eagle Scout project.
Okay.
And that's probably the best Eagle Scout project. There's a lot of good ones, but that's phenomenal that that was done by Eagle Scout. So there's like a little basically amphitheater with the grass area. And we planted some new trees, so in 20 years, we're going to have some awesome shade over there for our concert series.
And then follow us up with what happens at Pets on Sunday with hoses and pints.
So that is also through the beer garden. So we have a lot of yoga, and it's just popular for people right now. And I think the name is creative. It speaks for itself that you do your yoga.
Oh, it's yoga.
You get to,
oh, I thought it was like this.
No, it's like this. Yeah, yeah. One of those. I know the downward dog, but I don't know what that one's called. But after your yoga, it's part of their deal that you get to have a pint of beer after your yoga. I'm guessing it's therapeutic.
Definitely. Well, good. I mean, it seems to be an active season at this point, and will continue to be so. We'll see what the weather holds in store for us. But any further questions for Mr. Collins? Then we thank you for your report, Matt.
Thank you.
I think we're back to Mr. Arbor.
Yeah, just a couple things to wrap it up. Construction material pricing and availability continues to affect our project costs and schedules, and even operational costs. That KCDC rooftop project is really indicative of what we're going to have to keep an eye on, and we may, in fact, have to delay some projects in anticipation of getting better pricing down the road. Don't know. We're going to have to monitor that real closely and kind of make decisions on some of these projects. May weather was great and been positive for pretty much everything going on. Dan didn't mention it, but it was good that we did upgrade the and replace the both the well and the pump house at Brightondale, because as of the mid-May, we had already pumped about 4 million gallons of water from the deep well into the pond, so we probably put north of 5 million gallons of water on the actual course itself. That is beyond anything we've ever done. That's, I'm not going to say that's what we do normally in a season, but it's darn close to it. So it's amazing how much water we've had. And if we wouldn't have had that infrastructure replaced about 6 or 7 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to do it. So it's really a lifesaver as far as the course conditions go. COVID situation in May held steady. We do remain concerned that there's, you know, a number of unvaccinated staff are still at fairly high risk, and we had somebody that was out, they got it about 4 weeks ago, and they were out 3 weeks. They got hit pretty hard. They weren't hospitalized, but they were just shy of being hospitalized. And, well, I won't get on my soapbox about it, but let's just say I'm hoping more folks get vaccinated. Shopko Vaccination Clinic, as I indicated earlier, had their last clinic May 22nd. We're working to clear the building by the 30th. Here's it's been sold. Another good thing is all court functions have officially returned to the courthouse. KCC is no longer, Kenosha County Center, the building out of 40, no, that was being used for jury trials because they could socially distance in one of the big hearing rooms out there for jury trials. No longer needed. They're able to accommodate everything downtown in the courthouse. The design process with the Sheriff's Department, Joint Services, and IT staff for taking the old UW Extension suite and repurposing, that's in full swing. It's going very well. All of those departments are playing nice with each other and kind of carving up the space for everybody's use. I think it's going to be a huge project, actually, when it's all done, huge in terms of the benefits when some of the things that were looked at for that site 15 plus years ago that were going to cost tens of millions of dollars, I think we're going to be able to accomplish for a fraction of that now. So by repurposing that site, so it's a really, I think it's really going to be a good project. Targeting get the schematic level drawings, which are the level of drawing you need to be able to do good cost estimates by September 1st, so that we can possibly include that in the 22 budget. We just continue to work to normalize DPW operations as hopefully the community safely moves to a post-COVID environment. Pretty much it.
Questions or comments from Mr. Arbor? I've been through the some of the remodelings at Highway 50 and 45 there, the building we're talking about, the administration building there. And it has a variety of needs. You know, the sheriff wants a presence out there, IT wants a presence out there, we already have a county clerk out there, we have planning and development, we have UW Extension, and the idea of being able to use that space efficiently really, in part, is due to the building design. There's not a lot of interior columns and so forth they have to work around. There are some, but for most cases, you can tell me more specifically, the ability to move walls at will is a huge advantage there. And probably it would be good for the community at some point, you know, pick one of the times you're going to be out there, maybe this month or next month, July, August, whatever, September, just for us to take a walk through there so you can see firsthand how the space has been utilized. It's probably a worthwhile thing for us all to take a look at.
I'm having back surgery at the end of July, so I'd love to see it. I would love, if we could do it in July, that would be wonderful.
Let's look at our agenda. If we don't have some big lengthy agenda, perhaps for next month, July, we'll plan on taking a tour through the building, and you can at least see some of the remodeled areas, which tend to be towards the...
Is that 911 in there, too?
Right. The backup center is really important, I think, that folks can see what that looks like now and the need.
And then there's another hidden gem there that I'll let Mr. Arbor elaborate upon at some time in the future, where we could even drive perhaps more benefit without a big expenditure out there. So we'll leave that for future day.
And would the committee be open to maybe meeting at 6 as opposed to 6:30 out there? Because then I think we could fit it in a half hour. We could.
I would say let's pencil that in. If it can't be accomplished, we'll advise otherwise. But let's try that. Andy, good with that? 6. Okay. And if there are any other matters before the committee that you brought up at this point, going once, going twice, looking for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Belsky, Commonwealth, in that order. All those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance.
Aye.
You want to check out the turtle?
Yeah.